ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वृषमृणालदबलम् मेहन्तम् इव बिभ्यतम् विपामानं पदैकेन सिदन्तं शुद्रतादितम् वृषमृणालदबलम् मेहन्तम् इव बिभ्यतम् विपमानं पदैकेन सिदन्तं शुद्रतादितम्। Vaishnavis, Brisham, the bull, Brinalada Balam, as white as a white lotus, Mehantam, urinating, Iva, as if, Bibiantam, being too afraid, Vipamanam, trembling, Pada, Ekena, standing on only one leg, Siddhantam, terrified, Shudrataditam, being beaten by a Shudra. Translation: the bull was as white as a white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating. Purport: the next symptom of the age of Kali is that principles of religion, which are all spotlessly white, like the white lotus flower, will be attacked by the uncultured Shudra population of the age. They may be descendants of Brahmana or Kshatriya forefathers, but in the age of Kali, for want of sufficient education and culture of Vedic wisdom, such a Shudra-like population will defy the principles of religion and persons who are religiously endowed will be terrified by such men. They will declare themselves as adherents of non-religious principles, and many isms and cults will spring up in Kali Yuga only to kill the spotless bull of religion. The state will be declared to be secular or without any particular principle of religion, and as a result, there will be total indifference to the principles of religion. The citizens would be free to act as they like, without respect for sadhu, shastra, and guru. The bull standing on one leg indicates that the principles of religion are gradually diminishing. Even the fragmental existence of religious principles will be embarrassed by so many obstacles, as if in the trembling condition of falling down at any time. Umagyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bancha kalpataro vyascha, kripa sindhu vyayevacha, patitanam pavane vyo vaishnave vyo namo namaha, jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda, shri advaita gada darshi vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda, hare krishna 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 hare hare, hare rama 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 hare hare. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatamaham bande shi gurum dinataranam. So a lot of symbolism we find in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and here, since the bull is dharma, is religion personified, he's as white as a lotus flower. Mm-hmm. So he was terrified because the Shudra was beating him, and he was standing on one leg because he lost his three legs. Mm-hmm. So obviously something supernatural was going on, because why Maharaj Parikshit didn't immediately kill the Shudra? No, he first wanted to find out what is the situation. I mean, this is not a normal situation. No bull can stand in one leg and like that, and something must be extraordinary must be going on. I need to find out first, before taking any action, I need to find out first what is the actual situation, what is going on. So, not to jump, immediately into doing something before thinking it truly, That's a very important lesson we are learning from Maharaj Parikshit also here. So the bull is dharma and the cow is bhumi, the mother bhumi. So they are represented in the form of white and bull and cow, and it shows what's going to happen in Kali Yuga. I mean, that was beginning of Kali Yuga. So, I mean, the king was completely shocked and surprised that such a thing was happening in his kingdom. There was, although Kali Yuga started immediately after Krishna's departure from this world, that because Maharaj Pariksit was such a strong Vaishnava ruler, he would not allow this sinful activity in his kingdom. They were checked, no? But then he found out the situation. He wanted to know truly why this is happening. So at first was asking questions to the bull and the cow. And then he also asked the Shudra dressed like a king why he's doing this. So all these things have to be clarified before understanding what was going on. And at the end he didn't kill him because he surrendered. So that's also Kshatriya rule. If an enemy surrender, you shouldn't kill, should not be killed. Should be forgiven if he surrender. So, anyway, this reminds me one pastime that happened in Jaipur at the time of Maharaj Jai Singh. Most deities of Vrindavan took shelter in Jaipur because Maharaj Jai Singh was a great devotee and he had a very good relations with the Muslims rulers. So they will not attack his kingdom. They will respect him. So that's why many deities from Vrindavan to seek protection from what was the name? Aurangzeb? No. Yeah, Aurangzeb. Right. Anyway, it happened that one Muslim ruler killed one English captain of the British army. So the British, they put the price on his head, dead or alive, you know. So this Muslim ruler, being friend with Maharaj Jai Singh, he took shelter in his kingdom. So of course, Maharaj Jai Singh, following religious principle, if somebody comes surrender asking for shelter, he gave him shelter. But then something bad happened, that the British sent him a letter telling him, we are surrounding Jaipur with our army, and if you don't deliver this Muslim ruler to us who killed our captain, we will attack your city. So either you do it or accept the consequences. So he was delivering with his ministers what to do, you know. So the minister told him, your first and foremost duty is to protect the deities, no, of the Lord. And so, although you don't want to, you have to hand them the Muslim ruler. So, although he didn't like much to do that, he was forced to surrender a Muslim ruler to the British. And of course, they hanged him and put it in public, you know, as a lesson to all the Muslims not to attack the British and all this thing. Now, Maharaj Jai Singh was a great devotee of the Lord. He was having conversations with Lord Govindaji every day. The deity will talk to him. But after this incident, Govindaji stopped talking to him. So he felt very bad about it and decided to fast until the Lord will talk to him. If he had to die, if the Lord doesn't, then he will do it. So then his ministers also, they felt guilty that we advised him such a way and we are going to lose such a great devotee as a ruler. They also start fasting. So, and after like 3 days fasting, the Lord Govindaji appeared in Maharaj Jai Singh's dream and he told him, my dear devotee, please break your fast. I'm going to talk to you again. But not in the form of Govindaji, but rather you have to make another deity of mine, and you will name it Braja Kishore, and through this deity I will talk to you. So these are pastimes of the Lord, of course. I mean, he said there is no difference between me and Braja Kishore. We are one and the same, but that's the way I want to do it. So, the will of the Lord is the last word. That's why the bull, didn't, when Mahaparishit was asking him, who is the culprit of your, who did chop off your three legs? Who caused this to you? He was hesitant to speak, to say so. He was speaking philosophy. See, some philosophers say that we are ourselves the cause of our own happiness or suffering. Some others say this, that, you know. So, and what is the conclusion of the Vaishnavas about the subject? Why? What is the cause of suffering? We usually say karma, you know, you're paying for your karma. But Vaishnava take it a little differently. Vaishnava take it that it's the will of the Lord, and we should accept it. Of course, when things go fine, of course, we are more than happy to say, oh, it's the Lord's mercy. But when things go bad, then some doubt may arise why the Lord is allowing this to happen to great Vaishnavas. Like, no, Haridas Thakur was beaten, you know. What was his fault, really? Or Jesus was crucified, and what was his fault? So, the last word is the will of the Lord. Isn't it? And there is some lesson behind it. I mean, just to become devotee doesn't mean one will not suffer. The Pandavas suffered a lot. I mean, Prahlad Maharaj suffered a lot. So, what is the conclusion then? The conclusion is that the Lord's act in a mysterious way, and He has a purpose. In everything He does, He has a purpose to show. To give a lesson. To glorify more even His pure devotees when they undergo all kind of tribulation and they remain fixed in loving devotional service. They never lose their faith in the Lord in any condition. So that's one teaching of and happened to Maharaj Parikshit himself. I mean, he was cursed to die in 7 days. He could counteract that curse. He had the power to do it. But he didn't do it. Why? Because he thought nothing happened accidentally. This must be, in my case, the will of the Lord. He must have higher purpose. And there was a higher purpose. First, the Lord was feeling separation from His pure devotee, Maharaj Parikshit. And second, He wanted him to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. So there's sometime higher purpose that we can see immediately in any situation. And do you know the saying, not even a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord, isn't it? And behind this saying, there is a story also. That's in the Puranas. That once, with the help of Lord Vishnu, the demigods defeated the asuras, the demons. And they were very proud. Oh, we are so strong, so powerful. We defeated the asuras, you know. We are great. Then Lord Vishnu wanted to teach them a lesson in humility. And he took a blade of grass in his fingers and started to challenge all demigods to do something. He said, he told the Vayu, can you make it move a little? He blew all his wind, nothing happened. Not even an inch. Then he told Indra, can you cut it in half with your thunderbolt, Vajra? And his Vajra was cut in half when he threw it at the blade of grass. He asked Agni, can you change its color with your fire? Nothing happened. So all the devatas fell at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu and asked forgiveness. And I acknowledge we were proud, you know. And now we understand without your blessing we can't do anything, you know. So that's an important lesson we have to hear, to understand. Because, you know, the four religious principles, as we know them, given by Prabhupada and Shastras, are austerity, cleanliness, what else? Mercy, and truthfulness. These are four. And three of them are destroyed by pride, attachment to women, and intoxication. There is only one standing, that's truthfulness, and it's trembling. You know, there is a lot of false propaganda and lies going on in the world, isn't it? Once a devotee asks Prabhupada, I'm a very proud person, how can I be humble? Prabhupada said, by being humble. So, any opportunity we get to practice humility, we should take advantage of it, you know. I remember the first day I went to the temple, that was in Caracas, in beginning of 74, was a Sunday feast. When I was a teenager, I asked the Christian priest how God looks like, because the Bible says we are made in the image of God. So he said, that's a mystery, nobody knows how God looks like. I wasn't satisfied with that answer. Then I read that there are more truth to be told, but you are not ready to understand. And also, look for the truth and will make you free. I say, okay, we have to find the answer somewhere else. You know, if it is not here in this religion, let me find it somewhere else. So in that search, I start practicing yoga and, you know, meditation and vegetarianism, all this. But they also have a conception of God impersonal. God is everything. We are God. Everything is God. And everything is one, you know. I wasn't satisfied with that either. And I told the teacher, I need to know God more personally. He said, well, I hear that bhakti yoga is the way to know God personally. Okay. I took note of that. But then a friend of mine invited me to the opening of a yoga center in Bogota, in Colombia. We went from Venezuela to there, you know. They invited us, so we went. And at a vegetarian restaurant, we were eating together. And I told my friend, I just have one thought. He said, well, please share it. What is in your mind? I said, do you see this gray big building from the window? This is made by man. And do you see here on the table these beautiful red roses, fragrant roses? These are made by God. If God can make such beautiful thing, imagine how beautiful must be God. But unfortunately, I don't know Him yet. But I promise you, the day I will come to know Him in truth, I will surrender my life to Him. And my friend said, that's a very nice thought, but please take it easy, you know. And after a few days, we went back to Caracas, Venezuela. And walking on the street, we found a new devotee, Bhakta Brahmachari. And we had a talk with him, and he offered some books. He gave us an invitation. Now he said, please come to our temple. We read Bhagavad Gita, we chant mantras, and we have a vegetarian feast. You will like it. So we like those things. We want to go. So on the first time I entered the temple, I asked the devotees, can you please tell me for you how God looks like? And they showed me a beautiful big oil painting of Radha and Krishna standing next to the Yamuna, you know. And behind was a big white bull, you know, beautiful. And they said, here is God, this is God. And I looked at the painting in amazement and satisfaction that finally somebody have a concrete answer, you know, that God has a real form. And I thought, why not? He looks very beautiful. He could be God. Why not? And also I thought, all religions of the world are looking for God, and this Hare Krishna people are brave enough to put his picture on the wall of their temple. That's far out. I like to know more about this. But after the feast ended, one devotee approached me and said, can you please mop the floor of the temple? My friend who came with me, they were looking, okay, they caught you. And I thought, because I wasn't to yoga and all that, I thought, oh, it must be a lesson in humility. They prove they are putting to test my humility. So I thought, okay, please give me the thing. No, you have to be in on your knees and with your own hand. It's not like the, you know, the regular way. Okay, more test of humility. So I accepted and I did all the cleaning. And I was the only one who joined the movement from all my friends, you know. And I thought maybe because I did some little service and my first visit, you know, could be. I gave them books to read and everything. So, anyway, what I was telling you before this story. Anybody remember? Huh? Yeah, yes, okay, all right. So he met the deity, and Braja Kishore talked to him again, you know. So, but we're talking about the religious principles, you know, and one of them is pride, you know. So, pure devotees, they have all good qualities, including humility, you know, of course. But there is one incident about that, the life of Ramanujacharya and his disciples. He had a disciple named Govindadas. He was his nephew and disciple. And he was a pure devotee, great devotee of the Lord. And one day his godbrothers were praising him. Oh, Govinda, you are such a nice devotee. You have all these good qualities. They start enumerating all his good qualities. You're humble, you're tolerant, you're merciful, you're kind. You always surrender to Krishna, all these good qualities. And to their dismay, Govinda said, yes, it is true, I have all those good qualities. They were shocked. I mean, they were not expecting this answer, you know. When somebody praises you, you try to be humble. No, Prabhu, don't say such a thing, I'm a fallen soul. But internally you may think, oh, finally somebody recognized my good qualities. It is true, no? Most cases. But Govinda said, no, it is true. So the devotees were shocked and they went to their guru Ramanujacharya to tell him about this. So Ramanujacharya immediately called Govinda to talk to him privately. He said, Govinda, what is this pride? It is not proper for you, Vaishnava, to speak like that. Why did you say so? And Govinda thus said, my dear Guru Maharaj, you are right, I have no good qualities at all. But if I recognize that I have some qualities, it's only due to your mercy alone. So if I recognizing I have some qualities, I'm recognizing that you gave me your mercy. And how can I deny your mercy on me in front of everyone? That will not be. So the Guru embraced him, said, you really understood, I am pleased. No? So instead of trying to be falsely humble or falsely proud, we have to find like the middle term and to give all the credit to our own Guru, Maharaj and Krishna. That's the best thing to do. That's like the best solution to deal with this, you know, situation or subject. Now, the last leg that the bull is standing on is truthfulness. And that is shaking. That is shaking. We find out even devotees telling lies and things like that, you know. One good quality of a Brahmana is to be truthful, isn't it? So this one story of one Brahmana who was truthful, which is a good quality, but he lacked discrimination, proper discrimination. So it happened that one day, in front of his house, family was running away with their belongings, and they looked afraid, looking back, and, you know, very nervous, very in anxiety. And after some time, he saw a group of men with weapons in hand, you know, swords and knives, and they have a bad face, and they asked him, have you seen passing in this road a group of people, a family? Yes, I did see them. Which road did they take? The right one or the left one? Oh, they took the right. Oh, thanks. Of course, they caught him, they killed him and stole from them. When this Brahmana died, he went to Yamaraj, Yamaloka. And Yamaraj told him, because you told the truth, now you are going to suffer in hell for some time. So see, because according to Bhagavad Gita, it not only has to be true what you say, but has to be also beneficial for others. If it is harmful, then it shall not be told. Isn't it? That's the lesson of this story, of this Brahmana. No? So, anyway, Prabhupada told us when he went to Venezuela, he said, don't expect the government or general people to help us, to accommodate us, because we are bad business for them. If people become Krishna conscious, they have to close the wine factories and tobacco factories and the slaughterhouses and the bars and all these things, you know, prostitution, all this. So we are bad business for them. And in Kali Yuga, the most important thing is what? Economy. That's the first thing government look at. If the economy is good, everything is okay. Doesn't matter about religion. But in Vedic time, first thing is dharma. First thing is religious principle. Then artha, then the economic development. Then satisfying the desire, you know, the needs of the people. And then at the end, liberation, you know, moksha. But nowadays in Kali Yuga, people are not interested in dharma, nor in moksha. They are interested only in artha, economic development, and kama, sense gratification. And that's why I think things are going to hell. A few words. It's a madhouse nowadays. So there are many lessons to be learned from this pastime of dharma and King Parikshit. So I would like to hear from you. If you have any comments or questions, please do. We have a mic around.
Maharaj, what did Bihari say to the king? Did he speak to him?
Nobody else could hear what they're talking about. Only the king will hear the answers of the deity of Braja Kishore. I mean, the Lord was teaching something very important. Although you may be forced to do something which is not the right thing, you know, you have to suffer little for it. Although you are unwilling to do it, but still you are forced into a situation, still you have to accept the karma of it. That's one lesson to be learned. Yes.
Maharaj, when you were mentioning that, you know, Prahlad Maharaj suffered, yeah, and many other devotees, great devotees, go through suffering sometimes, yeah, we understand that most of them, they're very elevated, highly elevated devotees, yes, mature. And then we very often quote that verse, Tatenu Kampan Sushamiksha Mano.
Yes.
And when devotees hear that, you still go on, okay, the verse is very good, it worked for them, but I'm not at that level of consciousness.
Yes.
And the suffering is going on, and I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, supposedly, doing my best. What would you recommend to do for those devotees who, you know, although quoting that verse and knowing that that's the solution,
yes,
but at the same time it's not working for me? Okay. What would you recommend?
It's not working because we have to change our way of thinking. That's everything. Tatenu kamsam shushamikshamano bunjana vatma kirtam vipakam vidapa buribidahan namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadayabak. Dayabak means, I mean, that's the test, you know. I mean, in every exam, one has to learn the lesson to pass the test. And in this life, the test is that even in very difficult situation, how we react to it, how we take it. I mean, the verse saying that devotees should take it as the mercy of the Lord. How? By thinking, because of my past misdeed, I deserve to suffer even more, much more. But the Lord is so kind to me because I'm trying to be His servant. He's just giving me a token of what actually I deserve. It's difficult to think about that way when you are really into big troubles and health problem. And it's difficult, I agree. It's not easy. But at least we should try to adjust our mind to think according to this verse of the Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Brahma. So, at least we should try, you know. Philosophically, adjust our mind, you know. This is the reality. And when the devotee, everything goes fine for him, well, of course, he give all the credit to the Lord and think, I don't deserve so much, but the Lord is so kind. He's giving me more than I actually deserve. Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan De, used to say that there is a form of Krishna with 10 hands. If He wants to give you something, how much you can hold with your 2 hands? And if He wants to take away something from you, how can you prevent it? So, if we have faith in Krishna's action and decision, and we have to be surrendered to accept whatever comes as the mercy of the Lord. Yes.
Thank you for a nice class, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I was just finding, tracing in my own life that when I was not serious about Krishna consciousness, I'm a little bit more serious now, that life was very frustrating and unhappy, and over the year by year, as I've taken to the process more seriously, it's gotten much better, more peaceful, nice prasadam, nice association,
especially prasadam,
nice activities, harinam, book distribution, you know, developing that love, the gratitude for people, you know. So actually, you know, I know that sometimes there's a pinch in the material world, but it seems like we really do get a lot of relief from the suffering in life by becoming devotees.
Yeah.
I was just noticing that.
Yeah, it is a fact, you know. We all have to suffer all days, disease and death. It's unavoidable. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get better. I mean, Prabhupada said, the more pessimistic we become about the material world, the more we make spiritual advancement. Because we put more our faith to be happy in Krishna consciousness and not so much trying to be happy with the material comforts or good health and this. If that comes, fine. We use it for Krishna's service. But if not, then we accept it also. No? I mean, there is a Bengali saying, whatever we learn in this life will be put to test at the time of death. Prabhupada said, you may be a very good devotee, very advanced devotee, but that will be proven at the time of death. So, better start getting ready from now. All right. Yes, Archita Prabhu, please pass the mic to Archita.
The Bengali proverb is Bhajan Kora, Sadhan Kora, Morte Jangle Hoy. So it's not just about what you learn, it's how you practice.
Yes.
Because we see in our society, everybody wants to do things a little differently.
Mm.
You know, you guys emphasize this, but I want to emphasize that. You still got to go out on Harinam and jump up and down in front of people, and that's, we don't think that works anymore. Let's try something else. You know, everybody has their opinion.
Yes, that's true.
But that opinion and the way you practice your devotional service will be tested at the time of death. The safe path is to just follow the path given to you by the Acharya.
Yes.
Don't try to be over-intelligent and come up with something else and do it some other way. Do it the way that you've been given. That's the safest path. That's the purport of that proverb. Everybody is very intelligent and wants to come up with a new way and different way. But the safest way is to follow the way the Acharya gave it to you.
Very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna. There's another Bengali saying that whatever you do, do something new, different. Even if you have to walk in one hand, do it, but do something different, you know. That's the modern idea, you know, you have to invent, speculate, do something, you know. Another Bengali saying, Prabhupada used to quote, Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. If Krishna wants to protect you, who can harm you? And if Krishna says, this is your time to go, who can protect you? You know. So, once a reporter asked Prabhupada, what you will do if a bomb you see a bomb coming up. Baba said, oh, here is Krishna coming to take me with him. No fear. No fear. So how to overcome fear of death? It's to accept Krishna's protection. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you can kill me or protect me. I'm just surrendered to you. So the Charanagati is the final solution to all our problems, so to speak. Isn't it? Any last question? Very good. So today, we, as Subhas Prabhu announced this morning after Mangal Arati, we're having an initiation ceremony here. Bhakti Namada will be initiated at 10 a.m. Everybody is invited. Please become bring your blessings. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Chase you and lunch at your place?